We are invited to the table of the Lord. I'm so thankful for Tim sharing those beautiful words. You are invited to the table of the Lord. There's peace, there's healing, there's hunger that is removed. He does all of these things for us as we come to his table. In just about 10 minutes, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. But before we do, I want to share with you what we're going to be discussing this coming month. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9, share with us something very important. And I'll read this scripture before we pray. It says this: "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing water, like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear.' Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Verse 9, then the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" Let's pray together. Father God, you have invited us to your table. For those of us that know you, you have invited us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a day that will be. But Father, it does not just culminate with that day. It's right now. Your table brings peace in the midst of storms. Your table brings comfort in the midst of chaos. Your table brings so much for us. So God, speak to us now as we celebrate your grace and mercy and your table. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we have before us our pulpit for the month. It is a table. And you'll see some fine china here. I want to show it to you. And the reason I want to show it to you is because it's mine and I've not seen it in 20 years. When we were married 20 years ago, we registered for some china and we bought it. And it's been in these beautiful boxes in the basement ever since. And so let's just take a moment if you don't mind. I'm just kidding. But there's really an analogy there for you to know. And that is this: a place has been set. The best of China has been brought out. God desires to move in and through your lives. But can I tell you something? Just because you have a seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb does not mean that you are feasting at the table of the Lamb every day on this earth. Some of us have done just what Lily and I have done with our dishes. We don't have a china cabinet, so they're in boxes waiting for the day, the imaginary day we might have a china cabinet. But what I would say to you is this: that some of us live our lives that same way. We have received Jesus as our Savior. We have a relationship with him, but now it's as if we have taken all of the blessings and benefits, the peace, the joy, the healing, and we've put them in a box, and we're waiting for that day for the marriage supper of the Lamb to come after the rapture of the church when we're all with him for eternity. We're waiting for that day, but the reality is he invites you to dine today. So what I would say to you is put your paper plates away. Get out the good stuff. Let's see what God would say to us today that you and I can apply to our lives. What a day it's going to be when we celebrate with the Redeemer. A day of peace, a day of healing. We're going to lay our burdens down for all eternity, but we're not waiting for that day. He gives us the opportunity to do it today. So we're going to spend the month in the book of Luke. I would ask you to turn to Luke, and we're going to look at chapter 5 for just a few moments today. But let me set the stage for the month for you. You may have never noticed before, but Dr. Luke was strangely fascinated by meals and food and his account of the life of Jesus. One theologian even worded it this way. He said, in Luke's Gospels, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal in every story. If you really start to look, you'll be amazed at what you find. If you read all of Luke's Gospels looking for references to food, here's what you will find, at least 50. You may count from your translation more like 60 references to food or to meals. Luke's gospel is the only gospel account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the only gospel account to feature the prodigal son story. It's the only gospel account to feature the rich man and Lazarus. And it's the only gospel account to feature the Emmaus Road encounter. Have you ever noticed they all deal with food? All three of them. Go back and Luke. Luke, what I'm saying to you is Luke was my kind of guy. I like Luke. I like that idea. I equate everything with food myself. You ask me about a vacation, I'll tell you what I ate. You ask me how to get somewhere, I'll tell you what restaurant it's near. I equate things the same way. Now, what's interesting is there's one side note as well that makes Luke like you and me. We believe, and it's not 100% confirmed this way, and there would be a little bit of discussion about it, but I believe, as many others do as well, that Luke is the only Gentile to write two books of the Bible. There's nothing that confirms that he was Jewish. We believe he was Gentile from the way he writes and what he writes about. So we can learn a lot from this man who is much like some of us. So what can we learn, though, about these meals, the meals with the master? Well, there's enough here really to last the entire year, but we're only going to spend 4 weeks here. So we'll look together at this time. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. One of my favorite stories. Luke 5, 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teacher of the law who belonged to the sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They complained to the disciples, but Jesus overhears and Jesus answered. And so Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." By all accounts, tax collectors would simply be known as crooked toll booth operators. They basically had a license to steal from the Roman government. They were told by the Roman government, "You sit here at this major thoroughfare and you stop everyone who comes by and tell them because they are in an occupied space of Rome, they are to pay a tax for transportation, a tax for their goods, a tax for their livelihood. And here's how much money we want from you this week, and anything above that you can receive is yours to keep." So you can imagine the types of men that went into this profession. They were drafted at first, but so many were brought into this life of sinfulness, of deceit, of thievery. So Levi, or Matthew as we know him, Levi was a bad man. There's no doubt about it. His only friends would have been other bad men, or it would have been people who were so needy that they wanted to be close to him because of what he could offer them. And in the middle of all of this, what makes no sense to our economy as people, Jesus walks up to him and says, "Follow me." What an incredible act of grace. There's two things I want you to remember as we leave today, and that is this. Number one, God chose a bad man to be his man. And I'm so thankful for that. Because not only did God choose a bad man to be his man, God still chooses sinners to be his saints. Amen? Listen, that's what he does. God chooses sinners to be his saints. Are you one? Yes. Anybody else? God chose sinners to be saints. So that's what we are. Now listen, this is important. Let me make sure we cover this. Once you are a saint, once you are a child of God, you are no longer just that sinner. You've heard preachers say it before, but it's true. There's saints and there's ain'ts. And you either ain't one or you is. That may not be right, but it's close. You're a saint. You see that phrase, "Well, I'm just a sinner, an old sinner saved by grace." What I would say to you according to the scripture is that that's not the way to think anymore. Don't say, "I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." Say, "I'm a saint who sometimes sins." Because God has made us new. He did it. We didn't. We don't deserve it. You can't apply for sainthood. God directs us. He gives it to us. He makes us new in him. And so Levi, this bad man, becomes a follower of Jesus. And in the midst of that, we're reminded that God still chooses sinners to be saved. Listen, there is room at this table for you. There is room for you to come. Can I share with you really quickly, because we have guests every week, and then we have folks who have been here a while who are still working through the process. If you're here, how do you know if you have a place at the table of the Lord? Well, it's quite simple. Have you ever come to the place where you realize that you are a sinner, that you are someone who has disobeyed God, that we stop and we believe the scripture that says that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory, God's perfection, that we believe the scripture when it says that the wages of sin is death, life away from God, but the gift of God is eternal life with him, life with God, that we believe the scripture when it says that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for you and for me, that we believe the scripture when it says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved, that we believe the scripture that says whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Whosoever. Who in here would say, I am a whosoever? If you are, every one of us, whosoever, that's you. So if you're here and you've never given your life to the Lord, what I would say to you is you don't have a seat at the table yet. Now, maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you feel like you have a seat at the table. What I would say to you, that's sort of like at my house growing up. It comes to holiday time and all the family gathers around and you've got the kiddie table and you've got the adult table. Anybody have those tables at your house? Listen, it's a big deal when you move from the kids' table to the adult table, because on the kids' table, they get the paper plates, right? They don't get the nicer stuff. At the kids' table, the drinks are in plastic cups, sometimes have lids. It's not sweet tea, it's water or lemonade. It's not the good stuff. At the kids' table, there's rules. Don't get up till you finish your plate. There's rules. Stop talking so much. Enjoy. At the adult table, at the table for those who are mature, it's eat what you want. At least at my table, that's what it is. But anyway, I don't know at yours. But the reality is that's the case. And it's different. And there are some here today that you are at the children's table. You have yet to truly move on your own to the table of the Lord. Now, you're learning. You're getting closer to him, but you've never made that commitment. You've never received his free gift of salvation. If that's you, I would invite you to the table today. At this moment, right now, just simply confess Jesus is Lord. In your own heart, confess that you can't get to God on your own and you need him. Receive his gift of mercy today, right now. But for those of us that do know him, let's look and see what we can learn from this. Look at verse 29 again. That's Luke 5, 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. Levi experienced grace one minute, and within hours after that, he was compelled to celebrate that grace and lead others to grace himself. Capital G, grace, Jesus. He led others to him. So what happens in his life? He comes to grace, he meets Jesus, and then he throws a party and invites Jesus and all of his friends to come and hear about him. Can I ask you, believer, when was the last time you celebrated grace by sharing Jesus with someone else? In the scripture, it's a natural progression. Every time someone came to Christ, they celebrated by telling somebody else. They celebrated often by inviting others to come to him. What a beautiful picture. But I know for many of us who have been believers for a long time, the celebration dwindles. It no longer is about inviting others to the table. It becomes a lot easier just to go enjoy the presence of the table on our own and hope somebody will show up unannounced or uninvited. Well, friends, can I tell you, if you want to celebrate grace today, invite someone to the table. Share the gospel. It's what we're called to. It's the purest way to celebrate Jesus. Look at verse 30. See, what happens here is something very important. You see, though we are all called to celebrate grace by inviting others to the table, sadly, there are many believers who do the exact opposite. What happens is they tend to start distancing themselves from those who need the table the most. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Oftentimes, religious people distance themselves from the very ones who need Jesus. How does that happen? Two ways. It happens subtly It happens overtly. Sometimes overtly, though, we treat the world like it's an enemy of Jesus. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. This is important. We have to not treat someone as the enemy of God when God thinks of them as the harvest. That's the ones he's after. That's the ones he desires to come to him. See, what happens is we begin to view the world as the enemy when the world is the object of his love and affection. Yes, we are all, as Scripture says, enemies of God before we come to know him. But the reality is his desire is that we come to know him. So friend, don't overtly just treat your non-believing friends as if they're an enemy of God. Realize that he is using you to celebrate his grace by drawing them, by helping them come to know him. So it's sometimes overtly, and sometimes, though, we distance ourselves from non-believers very subtly. It happens in a church that will welcome unchurched non-believers to their congregation. We're glad you're here, but once you're here, we expect you to fall right in line with our understanding. See, that's not wise or good. We have to be a place where we can understand this is a safe place for people to come and discover who God is. And we cannot expect that everyone comes today to the table with the same understanding. There are people here that are not sure Jesus is the Savior. There are people here that are not sure they can believe all of God's word yet. There are people here that are still trying to figure out how to follow the truth of the Scripture and what it's teaching us. And we must not in a subtle way make them feel bad because they don't believe just as we do. We have to come to the place where we speak the truth consistently. But listen, in your Bible study group, it can never be that someone's wrong because they don't believe exactly as we are, that we make them feel bad. We have to come to the place where we say, listen, can I show you what the Scripture says? And we do so in a way that invites them to the truth, doesn't hit them over the head with it. That's important. In worship services, it's important that we don't make assumptions that everybody understands everything we're talking about. We have to be careful to explain because God is not hiding from us, and he wants us to understand the truth of his word. So what you and I must do is continue to point people to grace and truth and not just to our own ideas. Who pointed people to their own ideas? It was the Pharisees. It was the Sadducees. It was the teachers of the law. Over and over again, they pointed to their own ideas and not just what the Scripture said. Let's not ever be guilty of doing that. Let's keep going. Verse 31. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Friends, Jesus is still calling sinners to repentance. Amen? Oh, he is. He is still changing the hearts of Pharisees. He is still inviting people to his table. I love to go to my parents' house. I live in Huntsville. I love to go to my parents' house for a meal. Now, I'll be honest, in 45 years of living, my parents' dining room and kitchen table, it's changed a number of times over the years. It's a different table than it was 10 years ago. It's a different table than it was 10, 15 years before that. It's changed over the years. But the fellowship and the food have remained the same. I love to sit with my parents, with my brothers and their families, because what happens at that table is inevitably we begin to tell stories. We share jokes together. We enjoy each other's company. See, when I gather with my extended family, it's peaceful. It's therapeutic, and it brings connection into a busy world. We're all very busy people, and we really don't get together any other way besides a meal very often. What I would say to you is this, is that Jesus' table offers peace. Jesus' table offers peace. Healing. It offers those same things. It offers joy. It offers power. It offers his presence. That's what he offers to us. So let me ask, do you need joy? Do you need peace today? Do you need his presence? All those only come from his presence. But now here's the important part. I mentioned my family, and some of you would say, Chris, it's not like that with my extended family. We're not close. Or maybe it's strained. Maybe sometimes for you it is stressful. Maybe you would say that the holiday meal together or the birthday meal is anything but peaceful. It's difficult. Well, what I would say to you is this. The same is true in our world. Not every table offers joy and peace and contentment, power. only the table of Jesus. So what I would encourage you to do is stop sitting at the wrong table. This month, we will unpack so much of what God has for us, what He desires for our lives. You see, He desires things for you. There's not a person in this room that God does not want to experience peace. There's not a person in this room or listening or watching online or listening on the radio that God does not want to experience joy, that God does not want them to find fulfillment. Now, I gotta be honest, it's gonna look different for all of us, but the reality is all those are based on our walk with Him. So if you are not experiencing peace, what I would say to you is you are allowing your circumstance to control your personal walk with Christ, because peace is found in the midst of chaos at times when it comes to what Jesus does for us. Now, it's not easily fixed, because some of your circumstances are a huge problem right now. You may be going through a very difficult time. But what I would say to you is don't focus so much on the problem, but starting today, focus on the Master. Focus on the one you can sit and dine with. If I'm having a tough time, it's always great to sit and have a meal with my wife. If we can never have time to get alone and sit and have a meal, that's just precious time. It's always a blessing if I'm in Huntsville to stop and have lunch with my parents. That's always something that's just encouraging and it feels very comfortable. What I would say to you is if you're going through some difficult time, sit at the table of the Lord. Invest in Him. So what's the next steps to take as we conclude right now together? Here they are. First of all, come and sit at His table. If you've never repented of your sins, given your life to Christ, I shared earlier how to do that. Do that right now. Next, I would encourage you to celebrate the grace of God by sharing Jesus with someone else. Live it out. Live it. Give it. Speak it. Let someone know what God is doing in your life. And then third, here's what I want to ask of you. I have a special request right before we celebrate communion together. And that is this. I want to give you an assignment for the month of August. And I'm going to carry out the same assignments. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not going to do. But what I want to ask you to do is sometime in the month of August, and you may say, Chris, you don't know how busy August is. I do. School is starting back. Different types of fall sports are beginning. There's things happening. We're getting ready for college football. I get it. All these things happening, okay? We're busy people. But I want to ask you, set aside 2 hours, 3 hours, or 4 hours, and would you host your own Levi party? I'm asking you as an assignment for this month, as we celebrate the table of the Lord, host your own Levi party. You say, well, what's a Levi party? I don't know anybody named Levi. Look at what he did. What did he do? He invited Jesus to dine with his friends who did not yet know Jesus. So what I would ask you to do, literally, is to throw a party. You may invite 4 people. You may invite 40. It depends on how ambitious you are. But I want to encourage you to have a party, whether it's dinner, someone to your house for coffee, meet at Jamocha's, whether it's go out to eat. Sometime this month, would you have a party that connects at least a couple of your friends who don't know Jesus with a couple of your friends who do know Jesus, and just let God do what He does. Listen, one of the most important ways our friends who don't know Jesus will come to know Him is to continue to be around believers who live that out. So I'm going to ask my wife and I to commit to find some of our friends who maybe they're just coming to Christ, or they're distant, but they're trying, they're searching for Him, or maybe they don't know Him at all, to make a connection between someone and us. Now listen, don't tell them, hey listen, my pastor says since you don't know Jesus, I got to have you and one of the deacons coming back. I'm not asking for that, okay? But what I'm saying is just naturally do what you do, because here's what I find happens for most of us. We tend to just celebrate with other believers. Or we tend to have our non-believing friends and our believing friends separate. Today's the day I'm asking that your worlds collide, because it's all one world. Help people have an opportunity to experience Jesus and what it means to fellowship with other believers. So invite someone to lunch. Invite them to dinner. Invite them over. If you don't want to bring someone to your house, go somewhere else. But find a way that you can just build. Now, it doesn't mean you have to share the 4 spiritual laws at the meal. You can. But all we're looking for is that you would begin to build connections. Is that not what Jesus was doing? Listen, we make so much more out of this than it is. It's as simple as He called Matthew to follow Him, and Matthew said, I've got friends that don't know you. They got to meet you. Let me connect him to you and your people. And so that's what they did. So what I'm asking is, for the month of August, would you connect your unbelieving friends to God's people? Maybe as simple as inviting them to come Wednesday night, share a meal with you here at church around the table, but find a way to actively pursue that. And then lastly, would you celebrate the grace of the Lord as we celebrate communion together? As our men come to be prepared to serve, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment and in this time, as we move to this special place where we will celebrate the Lord's table together, my prayer is that as we take the bread, it would be a reminder of the body of Christ that was broken for us. As we drink the cup, that it would be a reminder of the blood of Christ that was spilled for us. And that we would understand that Jesus showed this very example of this meal with his followers before he ascended to heaven. And he commanded that we would do this often when we gather together. So now we pass on a tradition that's been happening for 2,000 years, but we do so in such a way that is a reminder of your goodness and your grace. So God, thank you that you invite us to your table. And now as we celebrate, may it be for your glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to give you the bread first. We'll pass the elements, and as we do, we would invite you to hold it. And then we will all receive together at one time. And then we will pass the juice and do the same way. We practice open communion. It's an open table. What that means is, if you're a follower of Jesus, you don't have to be a member of our church to partake. If you have Jesus in your life, we invite you to take with us as we celebrate together. It's the body of Christ broken for us. What a joy it is to know we can experience his grace because of his death on the cross. Take and eat. Just ask Anne to keep playing that softly, if you will. As you look at the cup, be reminded of the grace of God that freely flowed, just like the blood that flowed that day. What an incredible, gracious God we have. Before we take, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your gift, the sacrifice that was given for us. As we drink this, may it be a reminder of the price of salvation. May it be a reminder that though freely given to us, it costs you greatly. And that your grace will be on display in our lives, not only as we drink, but also as we live for you today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Let's move to a time of singing that chorus a cappella one time. Let's just lift it together if you'll stand with me. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? With your heads bowed, we are going to sing one more verse of that song as an invitation. And we're going to invite you that if you have prayed to give your life to the Lord, if you've received his gift of salvation, or if you have another commitment, if you say, I want to feast from the table of the Lord, I want peace and joy and fulfillment in the midst of something going on in my life, we would invite you as we sing this song to come and pray. We have men, our deacons right down front here. So if you're a man and you want someone to pray for you, if you come, one of these men will kneel down and pray with you. Ladies, if you have a prayer need and you want God's presence and peace and joy at His table, if you come, there will be a lady who will come and pray with you. If you want to come and unite with our church, to join with us, to be a part of what is happening here, I'll be right down front. Our chairman of deacons, Benny Frazier, is right here as well. He'll be glad to pray with you as well. If there's some other decision we can help you with, if God's spoken to you through a song, through the scripture today, maybe you're just nervous about whatever it is God would have you to do to reach that Levi in your life. Whatever the case may be, if we can pray for you, we're willing. We'll sing one verse. If nobody comes, we'll dismiss. But if you want to come, we'll stay. You come, spend time on your knees with the Lord. Father God, have your way among us in this time. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together. You come as God.